Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Gilbert Burns looks phenomenal tonight, man. Yeah. I mean, he looks fantastic. He looks like
a world champion.
Yeah, he looks like he belongs with the best of the best.
Bro, I trained so hard for this fight. I knew I could do it. I was calling these guys out for a reason.
Dorino gets the job done. Congratulations. And Michael Chiesa is putting on a clinic in terms of fighting in the way that you need to in a big spot.
The election is over. Colby Covington, your schmick is done. I want you next, boy.
Michael Maverick Chiesa.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome. Come on, no, put your arm back up. I don't want to. That's how we should start today. Matt Serra is back, and Matt's arm is up. Good to have you back, Matt.
I'm happy to see you. You look like you have such a good time with your friend Bobby Kelly. And some people at first,
I do love
they thought Bobby. It was me, and then I got upset when they thought that.
Well, it's a quick look, and then they realize it's not you. It's small little pictures. It's hard to.
Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
I mean, as a bald gentleman, I think we get lumped into people thinking that we're other people. You know how many autographs I signed, pictures, I should say, with people thinking I was Dana White when I was away? Jimmy, happens, I was right? away. I'm jet lagged, buddy. I ain't going to lie to you.
When'd you come back?
I got back Friday night, but that was from Vegas. So I got, I left Abu Dhabi on Thursday, but then you get back on Thursday. It's weird. It's like you like go back in time.
What'd you do in Vegas? Do you spend any time in Vegas when you're there, or do you guys just go right to the airport and come, or do you spend the night?
No, I spend the night. I touch down. I get my bag, hit the dispensary because, I need to get it. I have a nice nightcap. I bring my VR, Jimmy. I'm not lying when I say that because I've been working fools when I was in Abu Dhabi. I've been in quarantine. I've been away for like 2 weeks, like 4 days out of that's quarantined, like two days in Vegas, 2 days in Abu Dhabi. Right. So, I've been making the best of it, in quarantine. And it helps when you got your VR with you. You know what I mean, Jimmy? It does.
Today is a real welterweight bonanza. We have Gilbert Burns, who's fighting Kamaru Usman for the welterweight belt. Well-deserved, too. I mean, I'm really happy about that fight. I think we're all very happy. And Michael Chiesa, who had a grueling fight with Neil Magny on Wednesday, will be on with us today. And you, the former welterweight champion. I mean, let's be honest. This is a welterweight bonanza today. I'm really happy about Gilbert Burns getting Kamaru.
I am. Oh, I mean, listen, I can't wait for that. He's been looking.
Yeah.
I mean, look at from Tyron Woodley to Damian Maia. I mean, he's just been, he's been just looking as sharp as anybody's been, as he's ever looked. He's looking on point and everywhere. So well-rounded, so dangerous everywhere. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that fight. I'm really looking forward to that. You know, I just seen Michael Chiesa when I was on Fight Island. You know that?
You did.
And speaking of welterweights, and I go, dude, how was I champ? I'm literally up to that guy's shoulders, like tops. Yeah. I'm like, look at you. I go, you're like, how tall are you? Oh, it's Chiesa? Amazing. Chiesa's tall. It's amazing that he made lightweight. You know what I found interesting and I liked is that I saw Anthony Pettis did a post and he said, welterweight Michael Chiesa is different because he has a win over him at lightweight. But it is. He's fighting. He looks so much more comfortable in this higher weight class. Like, you know what I mean? Is it funny?
Yeah, he does. He does. Yeah, he looks better. Some guys look worse. Some guys have a harder time. Like Cowboy kind of had a bit of a harder time when he went up. You know, it was a little bit back and forth. But yeah, you're right. Chiesa seems to be more comfortable here.
He had a weird kind of call out of Colby Covington. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It was a weird call out. It could. I wasn't crazy about it because it's like, you know, I shouldn't be able to beat this guy. There's no world where I should be able to beat this guy. And but you know, you got to fight the guys above you. What are you like? It's like, dude, no, fuck this guy. You guys see you finish Carlos Condon with a one-armed fucking Kimura.
Yeah, absolutely.
F that guy, Chiesa. F that guy.
Yeah.
Just because he's the bad guy don't mean you have to be the ultra nice guy. Let's get him. We're going to get him on. We're going to bring this up to him.
We'll talk to him today, yeah.
I'm friendly enough with Michael that I could let him know exactly what we're talking about here.
You felt it was a little too respectful almost, like a little bit too much.
It's almost or even kind of downplaying your own, like, oh, the guy, almost like putting him on a pedestal, like saying, oh, this, I shouldn't be able to beat him, but I'm going to go ahead and, I don't know. On paper, you should, I don't know. I don't look at it like that. Like, I'm going to talk to
Covington him. Masvidal is what I think I want to see.
I like to see that. Because when you talk like that, it's almost like you don't want to, that doesn't get me excited to see it.
Yeah.
It gets me excited to see, like, all right, man, I shouldn't be able to beat him. But I'll tell you right now, I will beat him. I'll fucking destroy him. Like, I don't know. Who wants to show? Who wants to watch you think? I don't know. Almost. Who wants to watch you go in there thinking, like, talking like, I know I shouldn't, 10 out of 10 times I should lose. And it's like, what are you talking about? What the fuck? I don't know. It's a weird kind of.
I thought of you too, of course, during the chant. First of all, no one expected Dan Hooker to go out in the first round. Because we had Michael on and you had talked about, like, he's definitely giving away a few inches. And I loved watching him go to the body. I loved his body shots. What a great way to kind of balance out the difference in height and reach. And man, he looked incredible. He looked incredible, Michael Chandler.
Oh, he was. I mean, listen, you can't ask for a better debut. You know, that was and Dan Hooker. Right. Dan Hooker had five hard rounds with some of the best guys. I mean, look at his fight with Dustin Poirier. He was
Paul Felder.
I mean, amongst others. I mean, he's a beast. So everybody's expecting some kind of battle, and you're thinking, man, the height, those knees coming up, and Michael Chandler walked in there like he owned the joint. You know what I mean? And when he did not. I don't think he backed up at all. He came in there like the fucking raging bull. He mixed up. And he has a nice spring in his step, and that's good for making up distance. You know what I mean? So like he'd come in low, high, low, high. And then when he thought he was going back low, that's when he hit him up high. And then I know what's nice about those shorter arms is when he was on all fours, he was sitting there having that arm fully cocked back. It kept drilling him in the head like a fucking cartoon.
Yeah.
It was wild, Jimmy. You know what I mean?
Amazing.
That's where the height helps. Yeah.
Great debut. Now, here's what I want to see, Matt. And I don't know. You know me. I don't know if I'll get the fights I want. I still want to see Conor Gaethje. Just as a fan, I want to see that fight. I think that'd be a fun fight.
Well,
I would also love to see Michael Chandler, Charles Oliveira. That's the fight that I would like to see because I don't think Chandler should get a title fight right away. There's other guys that have been around. I think Poirier alluded to it. If Habib does stay retired, plus either Oliveira or Chandler would be an interesting matchup against Habib if he does decide to fight the winner of that fight. But Gaethje just fought him. Conor fought him. Poirier fought him. They've all fought Habib already. So,
I mean,
who's interesting, right? Chandler or Charles Oliveira?
How insane. I mean, first of all, you could say this about, you know, many of the divisions, but the 155 division is just insane.
Crazy.
It's just insane. Crazy. And when I think of the matchups, after a debut like that, with Dan Hooker, I think he should fight Oliveira and the winner go for fight Dustin. And we have to talk about, we didn't even talk about Dustin and Conor. Let's, I mean, I know we're going to talk to we got Gilbert Burns coming on soon, but until we get him on, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I'm not surprised Poirier won. I assumed he was going to win. We've talked about, I didn't know the calf kicks would be as devastating as they were. Conor looked really good in the first round. I mean, he was accurate. His striking was good. He was landing some really good shots, but Poirier is just a different fighter than he was 6 years ago. And I didn't think I thought he might win in the fourth or fifth. I didn't think it'd end in the second. And Conor, you know, look, the one thing about Conor is when he loses like any other fighter. He doesn't make inactivity and I got to take my licks. And I haven't been active enough. And he's right. You can't fight once every, once a year and expect to compete with Poirier. So I hope to see him again. I would like to see him to fight again this year instead of waiting. I'd like to see him fight Gaethje this year. That's what I want.
You know, I mean, listen, you know what's very odd is like, you know what I really like? I like Family Man Conor. You know that?
You do or don't?
I do. I just like him. Yeah. I mean, he's more likable. He's a likable type guy. He's walking around with his kids and his family, and he seems the way he handled this fight with Dustin was interesting. It was I don't think it hurt it, but he was very friendly throughout, very respectful. You rarely see that at him. You saw that somewhat with Cowboy,
yeah.
You know, and it didn't make a difference in the performance. He was performing well. He knows how to fight. But it is interesting, though, because the mindset of being locked in that cage, what I found interesting was it's not just being nice throughout, but when Dustin got in the octagon ready for business, Conor went up to him and gave him like a pound. Did you notice that?
Yep.
That I felt that stuck out to me. That for whatever reason, you have to be. There's a certain part that you need. In your mind, you have to be able to go to a dark place. You have to be, I feel, a little savage in there. Because at the end of the day, you could call it a sport, and which it is, but it's the fight game. It's the hurt business. And it takes a certain mindset. Like, I don't know, you even heard Dana, like, talking. Like, you know, he showed up for this fight in a fucking – a huge yacht, you know what I mean? And he doesn't need the money. He doesn't really need to fight. Like when you've seen him in his earlier, like when his last fight with Justin, he came out and it's almost giving zero fucks if it goes one round or five or three, whatever it was. Like he goes out there and is just ferocious. He was fighting well. He was landing. Another thing I should point out, I feel the 155 pound Dustin takes a better shot because a lot was shown to me when Conor landed early on Dustin, and Dustin ate him, and he was fine, and he was in there. You know, I think one of them looked like it hurt him a little, but then he started actually countering and pointing back at him, having fun in there. It didn't. Conor was about business in there, but he did not look like he was having as much as Dustin sitting there smiling at him, giving him a pointing at him, talking to him in there. I mean, when they were hitting each other with shoulder bumps.
Yeah, oh, that was great.
It made me feel like, man, this is – I felt early like, man, I think this is going to be – the longer it goes, it's going to be Dustin's fight, you know? And it was something else, man. It was because once he had him – I liked his response. Who was interviewing? Maybe it was either Brett Okamoto or the Schmo. I forget who it was, but somebody was asking him about him pointing at him. He goes, no, because he would throw something and take a picture of his work or admire his work, that type of thing. And when he got done throwing something at Dustin, and then Dustin would come back and counter and started getting his timing down, and he's like, man, you know, hey. I could box too. Like, you know, it was something else. I loved hearing that from him. You know,
what the new thing might be, Matt, too, because you're right. He's a nicer guy now. It might be one of a couple things. A, he's got kids now, or I'm not sure how many kids, he's one or two. Maybe that changed him a little bit. Maybe the good life made him a little less angry. And maybe all the bullshit that happened outside the cage that wasn't fight oriented got to him. You know, like once in a while, when you have this amazing life, and you're risking it by doing such dumb shit, outside the octagon. Maybe he passed through that and was like, ah, it just doesn't feel the same as it used to be that guy. Who knows? I mean, I don't know him. So something changed.
I mean, listen, as a person, I think it's a nice improvement. Like it's nice.
I agree.
I think it's healthier for him, you know? He's he's a great fighter and he was in that fight. It's not like he wasn't in that fight, you know, but man, that's something else. I mean, what a game plan by having him grapple early. The takedown, he went for the way he timed that takedown was just beautiful. He's exchanging, got in on his legs, big step behind the knee. I mean, it takes a little bit of a pop off the punches when you get this guy grappling, get some blood in those arms and legs and whatnot, and had him, you know, work his way back up. By the time he gets back up, that might have made all the difference when he's landing on him after that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, right. Dustin Poirier could not have fought a smarter fight. And, it does set something up down the road, a trilogy. It's interesting to see where Conor goes from here. You know, I hear Dana say either one or two things going to happen. Either he's going to sail off into the sunset. He has enough money. He doesn't have to fight again. But I don't think – I think that's the case. I think he would have done that already. He's young, and he's and if it's in him being a fighter, you know, he's going to want to do it. Much like you look at a guy like Mike Tyson doing something in his 50s. It's not like that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the love of it is what I'm saying. If it's in you, if it's in you, you're going to want to still compete. And I think he's way too young for him to say, you know what, I think I made enough money. And because I think it's in him. I think what else are you going to do? I mean, just, you know, there's only so much golf you can play and whatever else. You've got plenty of time.
He'll go to WWE at the end of his career. At the end of his MMA career, he'll go to WWE just because you can be very physical there. And I mean, the amount of money he'll be able to make and the amount of star power he'd have there.
He's so small for that, though, isn't he? He's not.
Doesn't matter. He's still, I mean, Ronda did very well there. It does, you know, it's like he's such a name and he's such a legit fighter name. He would absolutely do very well there. People would love him.
Sell his whiskey and just do what he wants to do. You know, he's got that FU money, you know. But again, there's stuff that money can't buy. And I think he's, at the end of the day, I think he's going to sit back, reflect. And what about Tony Ferguson? People are talking about Nate Diaz and him. Now's a good time for Nate Diaz and him. Why not?
That's what he's going to do.
It looks like you didn't like that, though.
No, I didn't. But you're right. Why? I think you're right, Matt.
Nate Diaz is coming off a loss.
Diaz is amazing. And the fights they had were great. But I want McGregor Gaethje. I've wanted – how many years have I been saying that?
That is wild, though. That would be
That's
wild.
What I want.
That would be something else. But I'll tell you right now, his leg – I mean, not that
– Ah, it's true.
It's not that Dustin doesn't kick as hard as, Justin, but, you know, Justin, I'll tell you right now, guy's going to be looking at his calf like a fucking at a fucking slice of drunken Sicilian. They're going to be like, look at
that. No, you're right, Matt. And you know what? Those calf kicks probably, I mean, after dealing with that from Poirier for a round and a half, who the fuck wants to step in with Gaethje where you know that's what he's going to do? He does that to everyone. Yeah, that's a good call.
What about Barbosa? What about, I mean, dude, there's a lot of guys that could
kick,
you know what I mean? So it is interesting. I wonder if it's the fact that he fought another southpaw, if that's the fucking, if that has something to do with it. What is Eddie Alvarez? Is Eddie Alvarez a southpaw?
No, Eddie's a righty.
He is righty, isn't he?
Eddie's a righty.
But that might make a difference, too. But he is accurate. Yo, Conor was fighting well.
Yes, he was. He came in great shape. He looked great. Like, it wasn't like you're like, you can see where the money got to him. He looked like he was in fighting shape.
But the thing is, when you see the thought of that second round, I mean, Dustin will start the fifth round like he starts the second round. You know what I mean? Like, that's insane. Like, it's like his endurance, where we have seen Conor get a little winded in the past.
A little bit, sure.
I wonder if guy's going to be looking at this like, look, I got to survive early and look to take out Conor after. Conor's not going to be fighting a lot of, you know, three rounders anymore. Think about it.
No.
So it's like, that's extra, you know, I'd be living on a fucking VersaClimber if I was him.
What do you think? Like, what do you think he goes next? I mean, again, is it to, it might be the Diaz trilogy. What I want, I'm not going to get. But again, I mean, no one, if Habib stays, Poirier's not getting that fight immediately. Justin's not getting it immediately. Ferguson's coming off a loss, a bad loss.
What about that?
So it's going to be Oliveira or what's that?
What about Ferguson and him?
And Connor, yes. But I'm talking about with Habib. And
how great would that be? Imagine Ferguson and Connor. Come on.
That's a great fight. That's a great fight.
One, I don't see him being buddy-buddy leading up to it. They're not exchanging hot sauces and shit. I don't see that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't just picture it. El Kikui's, you know, we like him, but I think he's a little nutty in a good way.
He's nuts. Yeah, and he's that is a great fight, man. Ferguson, Connor. You're right, Matt. Fucking Gaethje or Ferguson is who Connor should fight next. But he's gonna go with the trilogy with Nate. Because the second one was such a good fight and it was a decision that
and controversial to a point. I mean, that could have went to Diaz.
I thought he won, if I remember correctly. I thought he won the fight. But yeah, I mean, he's not going near Charles Oliveira, you know, or I don't think Chandler either. So if Connor fights again, hopefully he'll stay lightweight and fight either Ferguson or Gaethje. I'll take either one of those. Looking for a new home or you want to save on your current mortgage? Visit rate.com and you could get massive savings with Guaranteed Rate, the official mortgage partner of the UFC. Rates are at historic lows and you could land that dream home or refinance to potentially cut your current payments in about 15 minutes. Visit rate.com today to get started with Guaranteed Rate. Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. Savings, if any, vary based on a variety of factors. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID number 2611. NMLS Consumer Access.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in LA, a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, man. How you doing?
What's up, Gilbert?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good, well. Man. Hey, Gilbert, I just seen you celebrating Michael Chandler's win the other day.
Yeah, bro. So happy for Michael and so happy with the whole thing. You know, he just left Bellator and we didn't know if he was going to the UFC. That was my hope as a friend and as a fan. But he got a lot of good offers, and the UFC wasn't the best offer, but was good enough, and he was so competitive, they say, you know what, I need to fight these guys. I'm going to the UFC. Even if it's not the best offer money-wise, but I'm going to, and I was so happy. And then the talking was about Justin Gaethje. He's fighting Justin Gaethje, and I was so excited with this fight. And it ended up that they giving him Dan Hooker. Yeah. And Dan Hooker was my last loss in the UFC. And, at 55. And he was very tough. And I have no excuse, but it was a bad weight cut and everything. No excuse. He beat me. And Dan Hooker is just very tough. He's been, like, very, very tough after that. And I kind of didn't like the matchup because Mike was very short. Dan Hooker, good striker. He has a good grappling. I was a little afraid, but we talked about it before Henry and Michael Chandler left. I told Henry, I just have a feeling that Michael gonna knock him out in the first round. I don't know. I just had that feeling. I don't know. And then I was watching the fight, And I got very, very nervous, like very nervous. I saw Dan Hooker was a little relaxed. Michael was feeling, and boom, as soon as he finished, I was so happy. I was like, I got crazy. My gate for my community, the gate called me, hey, something. Everything is good. Neighbors are complaining. A lot of noise in there. No, sorry, everything is good. So I got crazy. I got super happy for Michael Chandler.
You know, I was, when you look at the height difference, I was thinking the same thing. But then, you know, your coach and Michael Chandler's coach, Henry Hooft, he's a very tall, lanky striker. So if anybody knows what to watch out for, I mean, I thought about that. I go, man, he's in great hands with Henry. Because not only is he a phenomenal striker, he is that tall, lanky guy. He knows to watch out.
Yeah, he's very tall. And he said it's very hard to land the knees when you're walking backwards, right? If you're coming forward to throw a knee, it's easier. But when you're going back, it's super hard to throw a knee. And the thing with Michael Chandler that people don't believe in Michael. Michael is so quick. And I just saw you singing the Tyron Woodley falling in and out of love. Yeah. The in and out from Michael Chandler. Wow. Michael Chandler, he covered the distance. He's so quick. He has a good right hand that sometimes we're holding the pads together. So me and he hold pads with him. So he goes first. I saw him. Sometimes he's throwing the right hand. I'm like, man, the right hand is quick. It looks so hard in here. And Harry says, it is very hard. So I wasn't surprised with the power with Michael Chandler, but the movement, I was like, man, Michael Moore is so good. He's that kind of guy that he can fight. He's going to show up, and he can fight, bro.
What do you think, Gilbert? I know we don't know yet, but who do you think he matches up with next? I'm thinking Oliveira. It seems like a very, very logical matchup. At least as a fan, that's one I'd like to see. What do you think? Do you think they give? Because I think he needs one more fight before he gets an immediate title shot. One more guy in the top five, and Oliveira has certainly earned his place.
Yeah, I think I don't know. Yeah, I think it will be a crazy matchup him against Oliveira. Everybody will watch that one, but like I have it's two sides of Gilbert right now. Gilbert is a friend. I want the closest path for Michael for the title shot.
Sure.
But as a fan, I want to see Michael Chandler against Justin Gaethje. That's the fight that I really want to watch. And Michael Chandler against Dustin Poirier. Those are two fights. Yeah. As a fan, I want to watch these fights. You know, it's just going to be crazy. That's the two that I most want to watch.
Well, you know what fight we want to see, and I'm happy it's happening, is Gilbert Burns against Kamaru Usman.
Yes.
I mean, it's you. That's a great matchup. I mean, he's a great champion. You know how dangerous he is and how powerful he is, and he can go for a long time. I mean, his cardio is great. Yeah. So I'm happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited. Like you said, Kamaru is a tremendous champion, a good grappler, more on the wrestling side, more on the control zone. A good striker. People underestimate a lot his striking. He can strike very good. Cardio for days. But if he's one guy on that whole division that can match very, very good against him, it's me right there. I can grapple. I got the power in my hands. I got the speed. I got the cardio. And I got my jiu-jitsu there. That's going to be a big difference on that fight. And then I cannot wait for this fight.
Now, look. Gilbert, I know what happens in training stays in training. I know that Jimmy don't understand.
For sure.
Jimmy wants to know all the behind-the-scenes shit. I know we don't talk about that. We're fighters. But you guys, Jimmy would keep bringing up how you keep wanting this fight so bad with Kamaru, and he brings up that you worked with him a lot. So you must know something. You felt it. How much work? Do you guys work a lot? Were you guys like main sparring partners? You guys get that much work in, or
a lot? We got a lot of working since the black season, since 2012, and then 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Wow. So it's about eight years working together. Wow. And I didn't get to go with him every single session, you know, because we got so many good guys, you know. But every time that I want, especially me, that I want a good test on wrestling. It's always every Wednesday is the wrestling, the hard wrestling, girl wrestling on Monday too, but it's wrestling and MMA, wrestling and wall, wrestling a little striking. And Wednesday is a pure wrestling. Wednesday, every Wednesday, I was looking for Kamaru, you know, because he was the tough one on the wrestling. Yeah. And I want to test myself, get better with these guys. Friday was more pure grappling, and everyone was chasing me on the training. And we were kind of the captains of the team because, a lot of – so we fighting, and Henry went out to Fight Island. Kami went out. Coach go out. So when the coach go out, me, I'm the guy that running the grappling sessions, and he was the guy that running the wrestling sessions. So we kind of the captains, little captains from the team when the coach wasn't there. And, I got so much work with Kamaru. And to be honest, he beat me up a couple of times. I beat him up a couple of times. Like you said, it's not good to say, oh, I did this, I did that. No, but was always, always very competitive, like always a good one that if we put me and Kamaru and we put Michael Chandler and Jason Jackson, if you put all the other guys, most of the eyes will be on me and Kamaru because we're going to get after, you know, we're going to get crazy. And that was always competitive on the grappling, on the wrestling, on the striking. And we put so much work in that. We know each other's strengths and weakness, you know, we know, but we did on the practice a couple of times on the sport. I think that fight is going to be crazy because we both don't give a shit. We're both going forward and we're going to collide and we're going to strike and we're going to grapple and we're going to wrestle. And it's going to be a good one. I'm very excited.
You know, you wonder too, because you never, it's so funny with fights. Like everybody thought Colby and Kamaru would be spending a lot of time on the ground, and literally the entire fight was standing up. Sometimes it seems like when two guys are so dangerous on the ground, it doesn't always wind up on the ground. But you're saying you think it definitely will.
No, me fighting against anyone on that division, you guys always going to see grappling. Might be like what happened with Damian Maia, a little bit with grapple wasn't that much, but we did grapple. And I don't care. On the Woodley fight, we did grapple. I took him down a couple of times. So on my fights, you can expect grappling. You're going to see grappling. You know, I'm going to explore that area a lot on every single one of my fights.
Now, and as much as you know him from having seen him in the gym so much, does it kind of put pressure on you to change something as well? Because
for sure. I mean,
he's obviously seeing you where you're like, I have to do something that he's not going to expect.
For sure. I think we both work on getting a little better in a certain area that we have a little weakness, and we both bring a little surprise, you know, a little extra cherry for that fight, because I haven't been working with him over 7 months, I think. Last time that I did train with Kamaru, he gave me one round to that fight with Tyron Woodley. He did give me one round. And when I came back from the Damian Maia fight, that was back in March, and I was about to fight Woodley, didn't have a day, we were talking, he came here that, at the garage, and we spar here, but there was a lot of rounds that we did here in the one time, so it's been 6-7 months that I didn't train with Kamaru, and he got a new team, a new coach. I gotta believe that he's putting new tools on his thing, you know, on his arsenal, and getting, and might come with a little new thing here, there. I saw Trevor Whitman is very good on boxing. I think his hands might be a little sharp, you know, like a little bit more combination, but like if you wrestle, you'll wrestle, you know, like I think if something happened, if I hit him hard and if I rock him a little bit, what he's going to do, he's going to wrestle, you know, and then I think we're going to grapple on that fight, and I strongly believe that we're going to grapple on that fight.
I love it, man. Hey, you know I'm a fan of the jiu-jitsu. Let me ask you about the thoughts on this matchup I'm hearing about. I'm hearing they're close to finalizing Woodley versus Vicente Luque. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think of that?
I love that fight. Vicente is my brother. Vicente is a guy that He's the only 170 guy in the UFC that will never fight because he's like a brother to me. He's going to be on my corner, and I'll be on his corner for that fight. So, and I was in Brazil before my camp. I was there training with him for my fight. And we're working on getting a good fight. And I even talk about it. Hey, keep training. Just give it. You need to talk to an opponent. Don't hurry. Wait a little bit. So they were talking a lot about Demian Maia and end up being Woodley. I'm very happy with that matchup for my guy, Vicente Luque. And that guy hits so hard. I think Woodley have to get his things together, you know, and then show up on that fight. If he sleep on Luque, he's going to be I don't know if it's going to be a long night. It's going to be a quick night for Woodley if you don't show up a little more hungry on that fight.
What do you think is going on with Woodley?
Yeah.
You think he lost some of the hunger? He fell in and out of love with it? Sorry. But what happened there?
I don't know, too. I don't know. I'm not on the guy's shoes. And sometimes you become a champion. And sometimes you conquer. You're made to your goal. You're made to your dream. You achieve it. And then sometimes it's like you lost a little bit. So, and then, I don't know, with me, I always have that. So when my first goal as an athlete was become a black belt world champion, that was everything for me. And then I never thought about money. I never thought about anything. I just want to become a black belt world champion. And then that's it. So I work super hard. Second place, third place, won the no gi, won the Abu Dhabi. Finally, I won the gi. That was my dream. And after that, I had that. Like, what's next? And I had that for the whole night. I couldn't sleep. And I was thinking, like, man, what am I going to do now? And I had the answer. I said, you know what? And now I'm going to do MMA. And then,
you didn't do MMA before that?
No, did I did. I never threw a punch. I never threw a punch.
Get the fuck out. Really? You never threw a punch?
Never. 2011, I had two street fights. And I knocked the guy out like that. Like, I punched the guy. I have one knockout on the street.
Oh, shit.
But
did you have your thumb inside like this?
The hand was like that. Boom. And I took the guy down, but that was only one street fight. So 2011, as I became world champion, and then I saw my transition to MMA. I said, okay, now I'm going to do MMA. And everything just went super quick. So I won the worlds on Sunday. Wednesday, I met Vitor Belfort, and he needs a guy to help on his jiu-jitsu. And then he asked, do you want to do MMA? I say, yeah, I want to do MMA. That was just my thing. Right now, I want to do MMA. And then Saturday, I was in Vegas with Vitor, and I started training Extreme Couture. And then first time I saw Michael Chandler, Evan Dunham, Tyson Griffin, Jay Hero, and Mark Kempman, all these guys on the mat, and they beat me up. And then that's how I started.
How old were you when you started learning the striking, the punching specifically?
I would say 2011, so now I'm 34, 2021, 10 years ago, I was 23 to 24.
That's fucking insane. That's on-the-job training. Because your hands, not only do you have power, but your accuracy, the combos and shit. Did you take to it very naturally, like you did jiu-jitsu?
That was pure hard work. I on the beginning, Vitor taught me a lot of things, like how to punch it. So I start with Vitor Belfort giving me a lot of good insight. That's how you punch it, boom. And then back then in Vegas, I worked a lot of Ray Seffel and Coach Gil Melendez. Those guys worked a lot. I was a horse working because they have the pro class at 10:30, something like that, and the night class at 6. But every day, I just fell in love with boxing, with striking. I want to get better. And I asked the boxing coach, hey, what time is the boxing session? He said, oh, we got session 7 a.m., 8 a.m. He said, well, which one is better for me? He said, come at 7. And I was there. I was in Vegas for like 5 months. Every day at 7 was there. I was doing 7 a.m. pro class, night class, helping Vitor with jiu-jitsu. 7 a.m. So I was doing that for a couple of years. And then we moved to black. We moved here for the Black Zillions. 2012, we moved to Florida. And then I met Henry Hoof. And then I was every day. Michael Johnson, Kamaru Usman, Eddie Alvarez. I was training those guys every day, twice a day. And I was just very heavy on myself. I was I was always like, even now I spar, right? If I have my wife, and every single time that I spar, she films, and then later I watch the tapes I send for the coach. When I finished the sparring, I thought I did very bad. You know, like, man, why I thought I was so slow? Why did I do that? And then, I'm kind of like, after training, trying to relax, but I'm overthinking. And then when I saw the video, sometimes I did everything that I was planning to do, and I did it very good. And then I'm like, okay, that wasn't that bad. That was good. But I always like that. And then that makes me work even harder because I don't know. I don't know why I have that. Sometimes I hate that because I feel very bad after training. The guy, man, just beat me up. And then I feel like that I didn't do enough, and then I need to do more. Then I go to the bag. Then I do pads. And it's always that mentality that's it's not enough. I need to do more. It was always that mentality.
So your wife will tape you and you'll actually watch it. So do you watch a lot of tape on other guys too? Like, do you like watching tape on other guys, or do you only watch yourself to pick up mistakes and things you do well?
See, I watch every, I watch. So as my fights get done, I watch the guy, every single fight, every single thing that I see from the guy. I want to know everything. So I start watching and make a lot of notes from the guy and things that I see. And I have my jiu-jitsu guy that helped me so much now, Wagner Rocha. So that Wagner goes and I say, hey, I see what you see on that clip in that minute. And make a lot of notes. He sees things that I see in striking. Sometimes I talk to the coach about it. But yeah, I watch a lot. I watch every single sport that I do. And I watch every single thing from Kamaru as of right now, my opponent, every single thing.
I was just going to say, man, we're talking about your striking. Isn't it great when you've developed it, or you found out that you had power in your hands? Because you got guys like Damian Maia, who I love. Damian Maia, man, I'm a huge fan. But that guy's not cracking too many. He's not cracking too many eggs up there. You know what I mean? Like, he's not developing that power. He can spend his all day long on the heavy bag, but he's not going to develop that power that you have. That some guys are almost gifted, but then they develop it. Some guys can't develop that. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, a lot of people don't develop that, but I don't know. It wasn't easy. On the beginning, they said I hit hard. But I thought, I said, those guys are just, I don't know, whatever. And I wasn't feeling that. And then I always had power, but I never had the technique. So I was drilling, going to a boxing guy. So at the camp, I'm all day at the gym. After camp, I was, you know what, I'm going to do those 3 weeks, you know, that I should rest. I'm going to do a lot of boxing, go to a boxing gym, pay the guy, do a lot of actual work. And then my hands was getting, coming back to the gym, the guy, oh, your hands are better. And then I was getting the techniques, Vitor Belfort, Tyrone Spong, Henry Hoof, all these guys at the gym. And then I just kind of learning how to throw a punch with a little bit more precise, a little bit more technique. And then I put two heavy bags in my garage. My garage is a full training. I have wall pads, mats on the floor, two heavy bags. I just train. You know, that's what I like to do. Anything happen, I go with that, shadow box a little bit, go to the bag, boom, 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 boom. Get a couple guys come to hold the mitts for me. And then I like it. You know, I like to get better. It's just, I don't know, just think that I just love to get better, and then I love to train. Even people are, what's your hobby? What you do for a hobby? And then I like, hobby, after the fight, when I'm done, I just get a little vacation. For sure, the body needs it. But then when I'm back from vacation, I just put my gi on and train with the gi. That's my hobby right there.
I love the gi. What about like, what are you watching or reading books or streaming? You watching anything on Netflix? You have any go-to shows you watch with your wife? Let me know. I'm always looking to know. I watched The Night Stalker recently. Holy fuck.
I saw that too, yeah.
Yeah,
you like that? That was good documentary. Holy shit.
Yeah, I gotta watch this one. I'm reading a book in Brazil called The Only Focus. It's a good book in Portuguese. Like The Only Fox, that's how you say in Portuguese. But for sure, they translate from here. The thing that I'm watching in Netflix, it's my brother made me watch it. And my wife, she don't like it anymore, but Dexter.
Oh!
I was watching Dexter.
That's old. You're going to say Cobra Kai. All right.
That's an old one, yeah.
Dexter. Yeah. Yeah, Dexter's a little twisted, man.
Yeah, crazy.
The serial killer. I might actually get back into that.
I never watched it. I saw a couple episodes. A girl I used to date loved it. And because she loved it, I wouldn't let myself watch it because we broke up. So I didn't want to enjoy anything that she liked. So I never actually gave Dexter a chance.
It's cool. I got caught up. I kind of stopped a little bit now, but I got caught up. I like Dexter.
Hey, was there anything too? We talked about you're watching tape and you're like a student of tape. Was there anything, since you've already fought the fight, I can ask you, was there anything you saw in Tyron that you said, I can capitalize on that? Because we talked about him. He's lost three fights, but he looks like he hasn't won a round. And he's a better fighter than that. And I don't know what it is that has happened to him. Was there something you saw when you watched tape?
Yeah, I saw a lot of things when I watched the tape. I watched it that I could take him down because as soon as he caught me with the punch, he forget about anything. He loads up a lot. I know anytime that I want to take him down, the takedown will be right there. I saw my overhand right counter connecting on him. And I think the main thing that I see on Tyron Woodley's game was he waits a lot. So when the guy waits a lot, for my game is so easy because then I can do whatever. And when the guy's waiting, I don't want to be predictable and I want to make him very busy. I don't want to give him because he needs – so he's waiting to get the moment to go. I'm not going to give that split second that he can go. I'm going to make him so busy. So that's why I was throwing a lot of kicks, a lot of feints, a lot of hands kick. I was doing everything and all the time making him busy to don't give him a little time because he wanted that. The thing that Kamaru does very good too, they want to give a huge fake, that feint, so you stop and then they take the action. But when the guy is very busy on top of you, like Colby Covington did with Kamaru and with Woodley, he just said, I'm going to throw everything on these guys. They're not going to have that time to stop me. And that was the same mentality that I saw with Tyron Woodley. Got to be make that guy very busy. I got to throw everything all the time, moving forward, put pressure in and out, changing level, and a lot of things on him. That was my main thing against Tyron Woodley because he waits a lot.
Okay, yeah, to load up maybe for a some guys seem to want to. I guess if that knockout power, it's kind of hard to probably not rely on that. If for guys who have that one punch knockout power, it's got to be very tempting just to kind of hold off and wait for the perfect shot to try to knock somebody out.
Yeah, and that was something that I failed in the beginning a lot because as soon as I get my first knockout on the UFC, I was like, wow, I can knock these guys out. And I have two knockouts, one with the right hand, one with the left hand before the UFC. And when I got on the UFC, I have overhand right, I have uppercut right, and with Damian Maia, I have the left hook. But before the fight with Damian, that's one of the reasons that's why I say my last loss was from Dan Hooker. And that doesn't mean it was just a weight cut. I don't want to give all excuses or just a weight cut. No, I still loading up a lot on that fight because I was in love with my power. And that was a big lesson that I learned in that fight because I have power. I don't need to load up. The load up, just I'm letting you see that I'm throwing. But if I throw as quick as I can, the power is there already. I'm just throwing quick. And that was a big lesson that I'm thankful with that loss against Dan Hooker because make me realize I don't need to load up punches anymore. The punches, I already have power, so I got to throw it very quick as I can. If you don't see it, even better because it's going to hit you so hard. So that was a big learning experience. And I think Tyron still have that. He has a big hand, but he loaded up too much. And then I can't see everything's coming, you know?
Yeah. Gilbert, thanks, man. We were fans. And this is a fight that Matt and I definitely both wanted to see. You deserve the shot. And again, Kamaru is such a great fighter. This is going to be an incredible fight, February the 13th for the welterweight belt. And good luck, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you after.
Thank you guys so much. My pleasure.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in LA, a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Oh, my God, the guns.
Thank you.
The guns.
I have guns, Jimmy.
You certainly do.
Oh, Jimmy, you know what you should get on your Oculus Quest 2?
A wife bra? Because I can't stop eating?
What those stomach rings get? No, listen, it's called, what is it, Fitness RX or something. So, like, you go to music, and you're punching, like, glowing, like, balls of light to music. Uh-oh. Dude. My wife does it. She's dripping sweat all over. I was doing it. Edwin, what the fuck just happened? Oh, my thing.
I'm right here, buddy.
You're there, but I don't see anybody. Let me see if
what's it called? Tell me what it's called, Max. I'll buy it right now while you and I are chit-chatting. I will get it on my Oculus.
It's called Fitness RX, I think. Jimmy, it's so good. Jimmy, it's good. Because I did it, and I was just... my shoulders were burning. I'm like, oh, dude, I did like a 10 minute one. Fitness. Edwin, you know my brother-in-law, Edwin.
XR, Fitness like, XR.
Now get that.
It's get XR.
That. Trust
30, $20-something.
Yeah, Jimmy, if you go to one of your shitty Peloton classes, whatever you call those things, what is it they call? Peloton?
I don't know. It's very expensive.
Jimmy, buy it. Don't be like that. It's not a lot. Trust me. You go to pay for a workout, you're paying more than that.
All right. I worked out today. We'll see.
Did you get it?
XR. Fit XR.
I did.
Yeah, I have to do it. It's trust installing. Me. And you're I'll do it, but we'll see.
You're going to
see.
It. As we all right. Go to my Zoom. Oh, I'm back. My screen went off. I was just talking about seeing you. But yeah, Jimmy, it's fun. So yeah, these guys like Michael Chiesa, Gilbert Burns.
God, he looked good. He looked really good, Michael Chiesa.
Dude, Neil Magny is no joke.
That's right.
I mean? So now, I mean, what is he on now? Like a four-fight win streak?
Four fights, yeah. And that was after he had dropped a couple. He had lost to Kevin Lee and Pettis and two submissions in a row. And now after Condit, he's won three straight after Condit.
I told you what Pettis said. And Pettis said it right. He said it correct. He said, the welterweight Mike Mav is different. You understand? He's different. Yeah, he's different. I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. Pull up to the scene with the ceiling missing. Pull up to the scene with the ceiling missing.
Hold on, Matt. Let me ask you a question.
Oh, that's 2 Chainz, Jimmy. Is that what you were going to ask? Who was that? 2 Chainz.
No, I was going to say, I remember you had alluded.
Oh.
To something with Tyron Woodley a while ago, and I never heard follow-up.
You know what? I was going to be in his music video, either me or a little animation of me, but then, I don't know. Then something happened. The Colby fight didn't go right, and then maybe that maybe he waited to push it back. I don't know. All I know is that's a great song, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
I know you are.
I fell in love with the song, never fell out of it. You know what I mean, Jimmy?
In and more in love with it.
Jimmy, 1.7 million people. Do you know that? Oh, I'm sorry. What is that? That's how many people seen in one day the new Dana White Looking for a Fight with myself and Lou Dobbs. 1.7. It had 1 million views in under a day.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging. Habib is in the episode. And the powerful Habib is in the episode. So he brings a lot of eyes, you know?
Yeah. I'd say 1.7 million of them, yeah.
Yeah. Now you're goofing on Dean Thomas because he brings in a lot of people, you know? So we had such a good time, Jimmy.
Me and
Thomas riding camels.
You look like you did. I was following your Instagram. It seemed like you guys were having fun.
We have fun. I have fun with Dean Thomas. He's a fun guy, you know?
Yeah. Did you do anything scary or is it all just fun shit?
I mean, we rode ATVs, we jumped on camels, nothing scary, Nothing scary.
Jimmy. That's a camel. Are they friendly?
They seem like kind of like pricks.
They're dicks, right?
They seem like dickheads. I'm not hanging out with no camel. One of his camels getting a little close to me with his big head. You know,
I think they're hot shit because they got the water storage. they think they're fucking badass because they don't need.
They're kind of cool to ride on though. You're like, boom, boom, boom. You know, like sat on that thing, and we went. That's not the first time I've been on a camel. And no, it's sad or weird. I've been on a camel with Dean Thomas in Mexico too. But anyway,
I wouldn't mind petting a camel. I feel like petting an animal.
We're not in Egypt. What the fuck am I talking about? I go, when you're in the desert, you know, you should jump on a camel. You know, it seems like the place to do it, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know? But I had a fucking blast, you know? And what fight am I? Are we going to talk about the card or are we getting Michael Chiesa?
Chiesa should be here soon.
Okay. Because we talked a lot about Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor. Michael Chandler, his debut was fantastic.
Amazing.
He's such a great addition and could be future champ. I mean, he's right. He's phenomenal. Joanne Calderwood defeated Jessica Ai. And she did that pretty handily.
She did. It was 30-27, I think, all three, right?
Because she kicked her in the face. That was I'm glad you didn't.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, our Amanda Ribas getting knocked out, dropped by Marina Rodriguez. I didn't think that was going to be an easy fight anyway. She was 12-1, Rodriguez. She wasn't like, you know, she had a great record. So I think people kind of sold her short.
That was rough because her kind of jumped in, kind of didn't. She walked off. You saw, who was it? Marina walked off.
Was that Herb Dean?
Herb Dean, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so when Marina...
he touched her, right? Or he didn't touch... She touched him, she hit his arm and walked away, yeah.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden she ran back in there, and then he did a good stoppage. Then he jumped in and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we should give some... You know, there was some controversy with, you know, my buddy, one of my buddy and students, Matt Favola. He lost a decision to Armand... how do you pronounce
it? No, it's Sarukian.
Sarukian, okay.
Sarukian, yeah.
Sarukian! Sorry, Jimmy, that's an old...
That's okay. Sarukian.
Like an idiot child sometimes. I just fucking yell at shit. Fucking idiot. I got jet lag, too.
Nasrat Haqparast dropped out. So he was supposed to fight...
Well, he dropped out because he got... I mean, look what happened, right? I mean, somebody got... What's his name that got... Was it
Otman,
him?
Otman Azater.
Yeah. They got thrown out of the UFC because they were giving their bracelets to people and stuff. It seems so silly, you know? Oh, hey, man. That was Armin. What a fighter, huh? But I want to give a lot of props to Maddie, man, because Matt, they could have gave Matt his winning show money. He said, F that. He still fought. A new guy.
Right.
And a guy who now he was even a bigger underdog. And he showed up. Matt was in that fight. Matt had some good moments in that fight. Good reversals. He was in that fight. And he's just such a warrior. So, you know, big props to Matt Favola for stepping up. And that guy Armin is just a beast. So I want to see what's next with him.
Yes. Rukian's great. I was happy he stayed in and took that fight. But it's crazy how fast things can change. And, you know, for them to, he was 13-0. Azater was 13-0, and he's out. So that's a serious offense. When the UFC gets rid of a guy the day before who's 13-0, it's obviously a tremendous fuck up.
Jimmy, 100%. Yeah, 100%. I mean, listen, he's a young kid. Maybe he can work his way back. Hey, man, we have to talk about Prad Tavares defeating Shoeface Carlos Jr. I like Antonio Carlos Jr. I love his jiu-jitsu. He's got some beautiful jiu-jitsu. Improved striking. He was trying to strike his way in and out, but I got to say something about Prad Tavares's takedown defense.
The defense was amazing.
On point, man. He was in on deep doubles, and he ran back to the cage. On the cage, he would hike up with his underhooks to bring up the grip that Antonio had around his legs and waist. Yeah. And I'll tell you, Brad Tavares did the homework with the takedown defense. And he's a guy that's been in there a while. And I'll tell you right now, he looked fantastic. He looked fantastic. Yeah. So I'm happy. That was something else. I did not expect. I expected maybe a takedown or two. I mean, he just. And then when he did get him taken down, Brad scrambled his way back up. You know, so props to Brad Tavares on a great fight.
Yeah, 30-27 across two and 20-28. But yeah, that takedown defense was really incredible.
Speaking of takedowns. No, go ahead, Jimmy. You got to finish it.
No, you got to speak about takedowns.
I didn't know if you were still talking. I'm just fucking hyped
no,
up.
No.
I go through intervals. Juliana Pena. Oh, shoot. We're going to have to get back to this because we have guests already. But Juliana Pena defeated Sarah McMahon and with a third round submission rear naked choke.
Right.
I thought and they talked about Sarah's back takes, how she was going up too high, losing position. And then when Juliana got on top, her jiu-jitsu was just better. It was just more on point. She was controlling those hips. She took her time to get the back. And then she took that rear naked. I was so impressed with Juliana Pena. Oh, there's Michael Chiesa. Don't you feel cool with that kind of black eye? That's a cool black eye.
It's not bad. A couple stitches. No big deal.
It almost looks like painted on. It's like a pretty one. It's not like an ugly one.
Yeah.
I have like eyeliner. It looks it's like right on my eyelashes, along my lashes. It's like I have purple eyeliner.
Hey, man. Congratulations. Yeah. I told you that when I seen you over there. What a great fight.
Thank you. Yeah, the fight didn't go how I thought it would. I really was looking forward to showcasing my striking a little bit and pushing for the takedowns as the fight went on, just because given it was the short notice main event spot, I was like, I kind of adjusted the game plan a little bit. But hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, man.
Yeah, if it's work, isn't it funny how, like, every time, you know, like, and as a fan, I can say every time you think you know how a fight's going to go, it's just... It very rarely goes the way I expected to. Like, there's always, I'm like, wow, that's not what I saw happening. I didn't see that. I didn't see Connor being beaten by leg kicks. Like, you know, you just, I never call it right.
No, I mean, it's one of the most unpredictable sports in the world, if not the most unpredictable sport in the world. So, yeah, it was a crazy week of fights, man. I mean, just every fight, every main event was kind of went different than it ought to. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't expect Holloway and Cater to be as crazy as it was.
Oh.
Loved watching that live.
That was like watching something special.
That was really when he was talking, and again, I was right there, like cage side with Dana. When he was talking to DC and them, and then he just gives a right hand to the face of Cater and then starts moving back as he's coming out. It was something out of a movie. I was like, holy fuck. Yeah. It was something to watch, man. Oh.
No, and it was the significance of it with it being on ABC and you know, right before Muhammad Ali's birthday, and there was that one picture that somebody put out where it was a comparison of a picture of Muhammad Ali fighting on ABC next to Max Holloway's. And you are correct. We did see something very special like this. This could go down in the history books as this sport goes on 50 years down the road. That might be like the picture when you open the MMA history books, like the Max Holloway, Calvin Kattar fight, the first UFC fight on ABC. It was something very, very special. So it was awesome to watch.
And it was much more competitive. Like, even though it was, I mean, 50-43, 50-43, 50-42, I think. But Cater was still in it the whole time. Like, you never thought Cater didn't have a shot. Even though Max was putting on, you know, arguably the greatest performance of his career, you always knew that Cater was still in the fight. That's what made it so amazing, too, was that it was so one-sided, but it was still, you still felt like, yeah, Cater still has a shot.
I think, Matt, you'll really like this comparison I have. Calvin Cater is Boston's version of Ally Quinta. He's got some Iaquinta. He's got the toughness. He kind of, the way he talks and you speak to him, he reminds me a lot of Al. So it's like, you know, and when you say that, it's not just how the guy speaks and just kind of some of his mannerisms, but it's the dog in him. I mean, dude, Cater's as tough as they come, and there's no way he was going to be out of that fight. You know, he's a gamer, and I spent a lot of time with him on the flight home, and the guy's got a good head on his shoulders, man. And, you know, and I'm confident after how much time talking to him, you know, and he's very honest with himself about the fight. The guy's going to grow from it, and he's going to come back better for sure.
Well, talk about coming back better. I mean, you went on like an ass-kicking legend tour. Like when you took out Carlos Condit, who looked great over the weekend also.
Yeah.
With him, and that was a great fight too, with him and Matt Brown. Diego Sanchez, RDA, and then now you take out another guy your age, younger guy. Now, well, these guys are not that they're too old, but again, one of the guys that's a big prospect in Neil Magny. What's different? What is different at welterweight besides feeling depleted? Like, I saw a great post by one of your former opponents, the great Anthony Pettis, and he said it was simple. It was Michael Chiesa is different. And that was it. It was awesome because it is. You're different. Something's up. What's up?
You know, I think it's with my style, I was it's inadequate for me to be fighting at lightweight. I mean, as a grappler, as a guy with a grapple heavy attack, I got to be focusing on getting stronger and, you know, hitting the weights a little harder to, you know, because when you get to a point, Matt, you know, a lot of guys from a technical standpoint, everybody starts to have the same technique, and the people that pull away are the people that can do it better, being faster, being stronger and things of that sort. And so once I got into that type of training, my body just started growing, and I'm fighting myself and I'm fighting my opponents. I'm battling the scale and I'm complicating things for myself. And I think it's just part of like coming from that era where when I started training mixed martial arts, it was around the time when you sparred 10 rounds with a new partner every minute. It's around the time when you cut as much weight as you possibly can. It's, you know, it's like that early era of MMA where everything was so extreme. So I was afraid to go up to 170. So, you know, thank you, Anthony Pettis. He's the guy that, like, once he beat me, you know, no disrespect to him and his skills, but I'm like, something's got to change. You know, I got submitted by a striker. I'm supposed to be the guy doing the submitting. What is going on here? And the writing was on the wall the whole time. I was needing to go up a weight class.
I think I remember that one. I remember, this stands out in my head. You had like a towel on. You're like, this is the last time at 155. I think that was that fight. Like, this is it. This is before the fight. You understand? This is the last time. So it's like, it was, Pettis is a fantastic fighter, but dude, I had trouble making 155 towards the end. And I'm 5'6", dude. I know I'm kind of as wide as you are tall, but still, you're fucking, I'm up to your, remember I seen you over the weekend, I go, shit, man, I go, you guys are just bigger now. You're like, it's not like you're a small welterweight. Yeah. Like, your shoulders, man, which isn't big.
That just shows how tough you are, man. I mean, come on.
Thank
man.
You.
You won one of the most prestigious titles. You won the welterweight title, man. Look at the greats that have been.
Yeah, I did all right. But hey, listen, hey, Kiesa, a couple of things before I get into Mario Kart. I saw your post fight thing, and your call out of Colby Covington, which I love the call out of him, but I thought it was kind of odd the approach at it, because you're a humble, nice guy. Not when you're fighting, that's when the savage comes out. But what are you talking about when you're saying, it's a weird one, because it was like, there's no way on paper I should be able to beat him, and in no world, but I have to fight guys, you know, in better than me to be champion. Dude, fuck that. What do you think on no world? It's a weird call. It was a weird way of putting it, Chiesa. Yeah. It's weird. Are you just being humble in the approach of it? Because I don't know, man. You're great in fucking scrambles when guys are trying to put you down. Your jiu-jitsu's off the hook. You're one-arm in gore, Kimuran people, legends. Like, I don't know, man. Fuck that guy. I don't think on it. I don't know. I think you're underselling
yourself. I'll tell you this, Matt. I'm confident in my skills. I'm confident I can beat any of these guys at the top of the heap. I can look at each guy and I can tell you how I'm going to beat him. And I'm going to tell him what positions, what takedowns will work. And I've got it broken down. But to everybody thinking that I'm overkicking my coverage, it's like, yeah, I know why. Okay. Like, on paper, this guy should beat me. Yeah, this guy's this. He has this. Trust me, I understand why all you guys are saying that, you know, but every fighter goes out there and says, well, I'm going to beat this. Like, everybody's used to that. But it's like, look, guys, I'll agree with you. I'm an underdog almost every fight. I can see why you guys think I'm crazy. I can see why you think I'm stepping above my league. I understand that.
Yeah.
But there's no – I can submit any man on the planet on any given night, and I believe that. And I think that there is a reason why I'm asking for Colby. A, he's in the position he's in. And B, stylistically, I'm a nightmare for him. I'm like, you got guys in the division – like Damian Maia, who can grapple, who's a jiu-jitsu guy. And then you got your wrestlers like Usman and Colby. I'm in the middle of both of those styles. I'm the kryptonite to either of them because I can do both. I can wrestle you and stay on top. Nobody's even seen my guard yet. Like, what's going to happen when you put me on my back? Are you going to be able to hold me down? Probably not. And if I decide I want to submit you, there's a good chance I can do that. I haven't shown all of my striking. I haven't shown any of my striking. I haven't shown my guard. There's a ton I haven't shown. And I believe that you put me in there with a guy like Colby Covington, I have the tools when it takes to not only beat him, I believe I can submit him. There, you got it out of me, Matt.
Yeah. That's what I wanted. That's what the hell I wanted. We got to get that out there. Because I need to do some. That's, of course. I knew you wouldn't walk into the cage feeling like, oh, man, I'm the less equipped guy. Yeah. I just want that out there because that's like, because I when you did it, I'm like, oh, this is brilliant. Then I'm like, what? What world are you talking about? I'm not But I know, hey, listen, man, I knew kind of what you were saying, but I kind of just wanted to get more into it.
You're looking at it almost from their point of view, like, yeah, I know this is what you guys are thinking. Like, I get it. So you're acknowledging kind of this is the way you guys are.
I'm an underdog almost every fight. Honestly, the only fight that I was an underdog in my, I feel like in my whole UFC career was probably, actually two, probably the Mitch Clark fight and the Diego Sanchez fight. Every other fight, it's like, you know, people doubt my skills and I don't mind it. I can see why. But when the day comes that some guy can stop me from going to my wheelhouse, which is taking you down and now grappling you, Wait till I got to go to plan B and I got to show you I can strike. Wait till I get taken down and I got to show you my guard. Like there's so much I haven't shown in my game and I've seen damn near everybody's. Everybody's shown all their cards already. I haven't. You know what I mean? It's exciting for me, man. I just try to stay very grounded. But I know I have the tools. I know I have the tools to be any of these guys in the top five on any given night. I have the skills.
And you got to feel good too after, because you know, dropping two straight is hard for anybody. And I know that the doubt probably starts to creep. And now you're on a 4-5 win streak. Like that's such an impressive thing after dropping a couple to turn it around as well as you have. So that's got to be, it's nice to have that stuff way in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. You know, the ultimate goal is a world title, but to get there, you got to win. You got to achieve small goals along the way. You got to climb smaller. You got to climb some smaller hills before you get to that grand peak. And getting that 4-5 win streak was something huge. I've never won 4 fights in a row in the UFC. It's always eluded me. Finally getting a shot at a main event again, you know, this is only my second main event. So getting that main event win, it's like another small victory. And you got to compile these things to stack them up to get you closer to the top. So, you know, and I can honestly say this fight, I've gone back and watched it a few times and I'm pretty hard on myself. You know, even if a guy, it's like when I beat RDA, he goes out and says, oh, I had a terrible weight cut and that's why he won. And I'll let that sink into my head and discredit myself in a lot of these fights. But I'm very proud of myself. I'm very proud that after a year off, major surgery that went bad, short notice main event slot, I was not training for a 5-round fight. I was training for a 3-round fight. 2.5 weeks notice, got to ramp things up harder than before. I'm very proud of myself this fight. And I think that I have a lot of room for growth. And I think that's going to be a lot of problems for a lot of people.
What do you think of the, of Burns Usman? That's we just had Gilbert on and that's a great fight. I think he deserves the shot. What do you think of that?
I think Burns is one of the most dangerous welterweights, if not the most dangerous. I mean, the guy's an ultimate dual threat. He can knock you out. He's shown that he has a gas tank now. I mean, at 155, he had a couple of fights where he faded towards the later rounds of a 3-round fight. We saw in the Tyron Woodley fight, he can push a 5-round pace. And when it comes to his jiu-jitsu, you go back and watch Gilbert Burns' gi jiu-jitsu matches, and they are violent. They are violent. When he goes for his grips, everything he does is fast and it's hard. And that translates to his fighting style. He's very violent with whatever he does. And now he has the gas tank to back that up. It's going to be a very interesting fight. I mean, and Usman's as dominant as they come. He's very solid. He can take a good punch. And, you know, we'll see if he can nullify that dynamic offense of Gilbert Burns. But I think it's going to be a tough fight for both guys. This fight, I really don't see there being a blowout. I think this is going to be a tough one for both of them.
This is why he's good with the suit and tie and the analyst work. Listen to Michael Chiesa. Right? You're good with that, Michael. You have a future in that when this is all over. It's far from over.
No, just
but when it is, shit, man. And you're even doing that in the downtime, right? Like did they approach you like, oh, you want to just work the desk like this time and that time? How does that work?
Yeah, they come to me now. I know I campaigned for it pretty hard early on. I think I had a couple post-fight speeches where I got on the mic. I was like, yo, what do I got to do to get behind the desk? It's something I've always wanted to do. Ever since I was an Ultimate Fighter, I would talk to John Anik about it. I was like, someday, I'm such a nerd about this sport, man. Like before I was ever even training, I would get on Sheardog and read the forums. I'm studying guys' records, and I knew who they fought and how they beat him. And I've always been that way. And if I'm going to put everything into this sport, I'm going to try to get everything I can out of it. And it's an honor coming from you guys that, you know, I sound knowledgeable and know what I'm talking about. So I pride myself on that.
Yeah, man, you look very natural with it, man. And I, and again, I've done it like twice, and I fucking hate it.
It looks so hard.
I do. My ADD, they're thinking in your ear, and they're talking to you.
It's
and,
so hard.
Oh, get me the fuck out of there. I'm so happy. I'll never do that again. But you are phenomenal at it.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm starting to get into podcasting, too. So that's to get more reps. Oh. And outside of that, I just always feel like when these events get over, there's something I want to say that no one else is saying that I feel like it has some type of substance to it. So I got to just let my voice be heard. And so I'm going to get into some podcasting here soon. That's why I got like this fancy little thing here. And, you know, I got some stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Here. What is it? Do you have it yet? Do you have one yet?
What kind of mic do you have?
This is a Yeti by Blue. I got it from my fiance. Yeah. So I'm like,
interesting mics.
So it's fun, man. People
just, like, ooh.
But yeah, this will be fun, man. You know, it'll be fun. It's an exciting time for me. You know how it is, man. I just hit 33, and I feel like I'm still getting better. I feel like I'm still a lot left in the tank. And yeah, you know how it is, man.
Like Jimmy says, I was 35 and knocking out Trigg.
I do say that. I say it a lot.
He brings that up a lot.
Love that. It's
embarrassing. He's embarrassing that he brings it up a lot. I seen Trigg when I was away.
Yes, you did. It looked like you were ready to have some shit with him, but then
No. I gave him a hug. I like Trigg.
Yeah, he's not a bad guy. Good. And you know what's cool about Trigg is I really enjoy seeing retired fighters being officials and judges. I think that is very
necessary. You're gonna say eat
and eat. That's a fact. But it's cool to see a guy that's such a veteran officiating fights. Those guys, not that there's some good officials in the sport now, but I think we need guys that have experience at a high level in their calling the fights and judging as well. I know Ricardo Almeida works as a judge in New Jersey sometimes.
Yeah,
so I think that it's true. Good for the sport. You know what I mean? We need it. It opens up more opportunities for guys to have stuff. Have income they can generate once their career is over, and it's better for the fighters because I feel like those guys know more than anyone.
I like during quarantine that you're kicking it old school with Sam Cecilia playing Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Where I saw your teammate, he brought me in there to you guys. I was wandering the halls, and the first thing I told you, Jimmy, I let them know. I go, you kids got to get with you guys. You got to get with up to date with this shit. You got to visit my room. I got in my room. I had my Oculus Quest 2, and that's the virtual reality. It's so much fun.
It sounds
so much fun.
Maybe I'll go buy one. I got a win bonus, so maybe I'll just go snag one to put up here in the studio.
Even Jimmy's got one. Jimmy plays his little lightsaber game.
I see that.
I did get
that's
one.
The one that looks fun. Is like,
oh, that's Beat Saber. Yeah, that's really good. But I almost broke my hand on playing. I was doing a Vader Immortal, and I was doing like a lightsaber thing, and I broke the barrier, and I forgot that there's not open black space. It's my fucking kitchen counter. Yeah. So, man, I'm 52 years old, and I almost broke my hand pretending I had a lightsaber. So you got to be careful with it.
Hey, may the force be with you, man.
Yeah, that was an embarrassing rude awakening. If you have enough room, it's definitely worth doing. You can have a little bit of space.
Dude, it freaks me out. I tried on, my coach had like the first Samsung VR goggles. And the only time I've ever done anything with the VR stuff, and it was like a VR movie preview for the new Jungle Book. I put it on. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool or whatever. And I turn around and then this freaking gorilla reached out. And he was like, oh, yeah. My body's natural reaction. Like, it just freaked out. Like, I wasn't like, oh, that's a gorilla. Like, it's so real. It came at me. I like jumped back. It just like freaked me out, man.
Jimmy's trying to get that with porn so you can have cocks.
That was going to be my next question, dude. That was going to be my next question. Who's jumped on Pornhub with the Oculus on, man?
I have not done VR porn yet because I'm afraid I won't come back. Like I'm afraid that they'll just find me dead, no food or water, my fucking pants just off,
drained.
It's embarrassing.
Looks like you.
So yeah, I haven't looked at it once. For that reason, I'm like, I don't want to know what I'm missing. Like, I know it's probably great, and I got into enough trouble on computer screens and with VCR. Like, I don't need 3D. I just don't need it.
Hey, if I ever gonna make 55, if I ever gonna make 55 again, Oculus porn with plastics on.
Yeah, that would probably do it. You're not going to come out and eat.
Throw a little sweet sweat, you'll be good to go.
Oh, man. I can't put that on, man. I got a full house over there. Because somebody comes in, it's not like you won't even stop because you got the thing on. You keep going. It's not like somebody comes in, you put down a laptop or something.
No, no.
Right, Jimmy?
This is your long search history.
Just imagine if your old lady comes in, just socks you. You don't even know it's coming. You're just punching the clown and she just walks up and drops it.
Yeah. She's with two of her friends. They want to tell you something.
Come try Mike's new Oculus. And then they just walk in. I'm just dropping the suspect.
Oh, shit, man.
Well, look, man, it was good. Congratulations. That was a great, grueling fight. It was a grueling fight. But you looked incredible and so really happy for your four straight wins. And it'll be very interesting to see if you get Colby or whoever you get. Obviously, you're going to, I know you want to fight higher up. So, hopefully we'll know something soon for you and have something else lined up.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. It's good to be on there, and I appreciate the high praise. But, yeah, you said it best, man. I won't take anything outside the top five at this point. I think it's time for me to stake my claim as a contender. And whether it's Colby or anybody else, man, you know you're expect a tough fight. So thank you for having me on. I'm sorry I was late, man. I'm so sorry I was late. I was like, what is going on? Like,
Fuck that. When are you starting up your podcast? When is that starting?
I think that we're going to be getting some stuff going here in the next week. So
what's the, do you have a name of it yet?
Not yet. So I'm actually doing two. I'm doing one with my buddy Joe, who he's the sports anchor for KHQ News out here in Spokane. And then the other one's going to be me and a big name guy.
Who is it? I can't say.
It's top secret. But big name guy.
Wait a second.
Can you say what they do? Are they fighters?
I can't tell you. It'll be another fighter, but that's all I can say. And
why can't you tell us?
I can't.
Right, who is it? Well, let's guess.
Nah,
how about we guess? Saving this for that cock Ariel Hawani.
Let's break the news here.
Oh, I can't. I can't break it yet, but trust me, Matt, when I can, I will tell you. But it's going to be a good one, man, and I'm really excited about it. I'm really like trying to broaden my
horizon. Is it a UFC fight? The UFC fight.
He won't say.
The rouster of the UFC. I'm not going to guess.
It's a UFC fighter. It's
Michael Chandler.
No. Wait. Well, Mike and Mike show would be good, though. There's a lot of this.
The Mike and Mike show.
Right.
We guess. Just give us like a wink.
I won't be able to tell because I got a black eye.
That's true. All right. Well, listen.
Davison Figueroa. I'm just going to throw names out.
It's Figueroa, isn't it?
Yep, it's Davison Figueroa.
Have you seen the size of his head? That guy has a man on him. That dude has a big skulled man. That guy's got a big head. Hey, he's freaking scary looking.
Hey, Michael Chiesa, is this podcast you're doing with this unnamed person? Is it going to be about just MMA, or is it going to be about pop culture? Like me and Jimmy like to talk about different shit. Is it going to be about strictly MMA? What is it going to be about?
This one will be very sport related, and it'll be really good.
Okay.
It'll be the production value will be great, and I think you guys will enjoy it. It's going to be good.
I know who it is.
No,
Jimmy?
Yeah. No idea.
And Henry Cejudo. Henry Cejudo.
Oh, my God.
No, Cormier has one already.
Cormier already has one, but me and DC would be sick. Me and DC would be good.
All right, we'll call Dominic Cruz. We said hello. not Dominic Cruz.
Your eye of favor would never let that happen. He'd be like, yo, what are you doing?
Are they doing one together? I don't even know. Okay, shit.
I think Faber and Cruz should do a podcast together.
They don't. Okay, yeah. I think you're saying they did one together.
No.
What a stupid asshole. I forgot they don't like each other.
I know. Jimmy, I'm like, what? You're like, oh, they're doing one together?
Dude, it's not the craziest thing. Everyone has a fucking podcast now, so it's not crazy.
I know. You do what we're doing.
It's a good thing to do. But Bilal Muhammad's podcast is actually a lot of fun too. He does that. Remember the show? It's pretty fun.
I like Bilal Muhammad.
Yeah.
Now what is he?
I said Bilal. He does that. Remember the show. He does like a game show. I think he had Aljo on there in the last show.
I'm so burnt, man. When I was in Abu Dhabi, he asked me to be on. Something wrong with me. He asked why. I'm like, does he have a show? He asked me, so I'm going to do that. It's a game show.
Yeah, it's like a game show, and it's a lot of fun. He's an eccentric guy. He does a good job. So yeah, he's definitely get back.
I told him when I'm home, we'll do it because I didn't know the. I'm shit, man. I don't know how you are, but I'm fucking jet lagged, dude. How are you?
I was up at 4 a.m. this morning. I can't get it right. I was falling asleep during Chandler versus Hooker somehow. I was like sitting in my fiance's house. course, had a couple shots of whiskey, but I was like sitting up, like dozing off. Like I can barely stay up past 8 o'clock. But when he dropped, Hooker, I just about jumped out of my seat. Yeah. Like, all right, I'm awake. Holy
yeah.
Holy
shit, man. Now we'll get it down, man. But I got that jet lag too, dude. I've been sleeping in intervals. You know?
Yeah, it's tough. I'm going to try to push through today and just try to get on a normal sleep schedule. But yeah, you just get so used to that 12-hour difference. And in the rooms, the curtains don't black out. So it's like the sleep I got there wasn't the best. And I'm sure you were there through the 23rd, weren't you? Or did you come
home? No, I got out of there. I was on the flight with you home, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
They don't have blackout curtains? That would make me crazy.
It's good curtains, but there's just the light. The windows are big and the light kind of creeps in. And those poor guys that fought on the 23rd had to deal with the race cars that night. They had like and they had an earlier start time. I think the main card was 12-hour difference West Coast. So the main card started at 7 a.m. there. They had the cars out on the track at night.
I'm going to take a nap after this.
Yeah.
Did I wear you
I'm
out?
I'm tired too.
Did I wear you out? Yeah. So,
well, listen, man, you're the man. Congrats on a great win.
Congratulations.
Off Neil Magny. I can't wait to see what's next. I hope it's Colby, to be honest with you.
Yeah, man. I hope so too. And, you know, Matt, maybe I'll make my way over head east and
Pick your brain a little bit.
I would love to, man. I tell the Strong Island boys all the time, man, one of these days I'm going to come over and spend a couple weeks, get some work in. It'd be great.
Let me know, dude. Always welcome, brother.
Awesome. And best of luck to you guys headed into that title fight, man. You know me. I'm the transplant Sarah Longo guy on the other side of the mountain. But yeah, pulling for Aljo, man. Looking forward to it. So good luck to you guys in his camp.
Thanks so much, man. I'm so excited for him.
Yeah.
So awesome, Michael.
Take care, Michael. Good talking to you.
All right. Peace out, guys. Thank you for having me on.
I was saying before, Juliana Pena. I mean, she had the, you know, she got taken down early by Sarah McMahon, and she showed a well-rounded skill set. And when she had a chance to get on top, she took advantage of it, man. I think that girl, she's really looking great lately. I'm happy that she's back in the mix, you know? All right. What else do we got to talk about? We had a pretty good show, Jimmy.
Yeah. We'll talk more Wednesday. And
I'm back, buddy.
I'm happy you're back. I missed you too.
What do you want to plug?
Nothing. If you want some Chip Chipperson ringtones, they're up on chipchipperson.com. And they really, they bother people a lot. So if you want ringtones, they're going to really annoy people.
Go to chipchipperson.com. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, man. Well, listen, I'm doing cameos still because I like that. I'm singing. I'm doing little medleys. I'm having nice conversations. I ramble. Sometimes I've been known to ramble. And I very rarely do take twos. So I go, look, I might be rambling, but if you listen on filter and whatever, you know me, then this is what you kind of want, you know? Yep.
You're getting what you pay for.
Yeah, 100%. And then some. Jimmy, love you, buddy. It's so good to be back with you.
I'm happy you're back, man. I'll talk to you soon.
You didn't say it back, though.
I love you very much.
Okay, Jimmy. Sorry to point that out. I'll see you Wednesday.
Bye. Take care, buddy.
Later, buddy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.